I'm also excited about our draft because of just the quality work that we've been able to get done in free agency. You know, it's two means by which we develop our football team for 2024 that goes with existing talent. It's free agency in the draft, and we've been very active in free agency, and, you know, that makes you really comfortable as we lean in on draft weekend.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peter, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're going to get to this quarterback trade in the AFC in a few minutes. But it was the day, the annual press conference before the draft between Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, and Jeff Hathorn and others over at the headquarters. And Tomlin's point there about how, you know, free agency has quelled some of his concerns going into the draft. I don't think that free agency has done that for fans per se, but I know what it's done. It's really taken a lot of the shine and a lot of the attention away from the draft. You know, for years, the draft was the marquee and signature event of the offseason for the Steelers. It would be really from the day the season ended, we'd be counting down the days of the draft, thinking about what the Steelers needed to do, who they would take, all those prospects, and we still do that. But they now do a lot more in this new era under Omar Khan in free agency and with trades. So this almost feels like the dessert portion of the offseason. The main course or entree dish was back in March when they got Russell Wilson and made the Justin Fields move and signed Patrick Queen away from the Ravens. Whoever they get on Thursday night is going to pale in comparison to what they did in free agency in the offseason.
Well, the draft's always like special, though, I think. And so that first-round pick, regardless of who it is going to be extremely highly scrutinized, celebrated, whatever, you know, unless people hate the pick, which I guess is possible, but I feel like even the days of hating a pick are almost long gone now because you can make a case for anybody. But they used to have the draft being the centerpiece of the offseason, Pony. They used to take that as just this big point of organizational pride. We don't win the offseason. We don't do what every other team does. We don't go and try to shop from the top end of the rack. They did that with Queen. They paid premium price. They didn't go to the discount, the $2 DVD bin there. They did fill their quarterback room with guys who don't cost much, but in terms of pedigree, one's a two-time Super Bowl appearance and one-time winner, and the other guy was a top 15 pick. And so in terms of profile and in some cases money, they have just completely shattered the mold. I think what their free agency really did was crystallize what a lot, and this isn't necessarily a good thing, I saw an article by Ross Tucker on his, I think he's with that 33rd team now, about the position you never want to be in as a team heading into the draft, and that's with everybody knowing exactly what you really, really need, like specifically in the first round. And he named three teams, Broncos, Vikings, Cowboys. Everybody knows what those three teams need. Two of them need quarterbacks. I don't care what
Zach. Dallas needs offensive line.
Dallas needs offensive line and running back to a degree, although that's maybe a little less important. I do think that the Steelers have sort of crystallized what they need, but to hear them tell it, their needs aren't as acute as the outside, to what you said, perceives them to be. Like, now, whether that the million-dollar thing I took away from Khan and Tomlin today is whether or not they are, on some level, genuinely believing the things they say about the offensive line, about center, or where they're just, if they're just trying to throw out you know what and hope some of it sticks as far as like guys falling their way. You know what I mean? Like, you can talk about we have internal options. Do you really have internal options for center? Do you really have this? Do you really have that? Like, that's what I learned, at least.
Well, I think they also have a high degree or level of confidence in themselves working together because of what they got out of last year's draft. So they found three starters with their first three picks. Jones, Porter Jr. was a defensive player, defensive rookie of the year finalist, and Benton, who by the end of the year might have looked better than the other two. So they have holes, but they probably feel like we filled them last year. You know, we don't have old conservative stodgy Kevin around here anymore.
Poor Kevin.
You know,
Kevin is just taking. I hate this because Kevin's always been terrific to me personally, but it's clear
and he was really good at his job for a long time.
For a long time, but there's no arguing that some of his final drafts really lacked, and that's being kind, and that Omar, it appears, hit it out of the park in year one. That the new brain trust replacing Colbert, like I'll call it, now it's Khan, Weidel, Tomlin, not only did they kind of put to bed the fear that they can't work together, because remember, it was being propagated. Tomlin was going to run roughshod over the other two. He was going to get his way. It sounds like they all work really nicely together, and it sounds like they have a nice cohesive plan, that there's like healthy challenging to the paradigm here.
The one thing that I still don't get is they made proactive moves to get rid of guys that I applauded, which was very un-Steelers-like. We don't even know who your replacement is, but we just don't want you on the team anymore. Chukwuma Okorafor. We don't have another tackle. You're just expensive, and we benched you last year, and we'll figure it out.
See ya.
Right?
We don't. I mean, that was a classic volunteers, not hostages, because he was talking crap.
Mason Cole.
Bye. Couldn't snap the ball.
You couldn't snap the ball. You weren't very good. We don't have a real center on the roster. We'll get rid of you. And then they didn't find replacements for either guy in free agency.
Well, you said you're hung up on that, and I am too. Specifically the second one.
But the last one I was going to get to is the Diontae Johnson trade. I mean, yeah, they filled one hole, you could say, in that trade, but it's not the one that they jettisoned. I mean, they signed Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins. Those guys can't be your number two wide receiver. I'm sorry. Not in 2024. This is not the 1970s anymore.
But in the 1970s, they had Swan and Stallworth. Yeah, good
point.
So even that one doesn't work.
Yeah.
Of those three, though, like you named a tackle, a center, and a wide receiver who got told to peace out. And I know they would tell you that, well, when we got rid of Diontae, we added a corner. But I don't want to humor that right now. I have no idea if he's even close to good or if it's just smoke from them. I would have filled the center position there. I still think not getting Morse or not really seriously trying to bring in Morse.
Well, they brought him in here, so they were semi-serious. They weren't an unserious football team, as the kids like to say.
But they needed to fill that
Twitter.
One because I think if you have one of those three spots filled, it makes you a lot more light on your feet in this draft. Like you're not able to be telegraphed or you know put in a box. Here's what I mean by that. I looked at two mocks first thing when I got up this morning and I had some time. One of them had the Steelers trading from 51 to 34 to make sure they got a center, Frazier. It was after they took it was the PFF mock, I believe. They had Fautanu at 20, then Frazier, but they had to give up picks 90 or 84 and 119 to get that far up. And then the other one, I saw them trading up with pick 84 or whatever just to move up four spots to get J.C. Latham. So it's like, and I might have like flipped those. That was Jordan Reed on ESPN. When you have defined needs and there is a perceived limited supply, especially at center specifically, I do think it kind of hamstrings your ability to operate in the way you maybe prefer to operate.
We do have clips from these guys on the trading down and even trading up questions. And I think they gave clues or little, you could read between the lines on some of these answers, I think, and derive really where they're leaning or what they're thinking with both of those ideas. I think ideally, just to give you again, like more of a big picture look at where we are as we enter draft week. When I think of Kevin Colbert as the GM and where they would like to be positioned going into these drafts, they would have had a lot of these holes filled, even if they were with, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Like, I don't think he would have cut Cole. I don't think he would have done that.
He would have said, I want to at least have, like, a replacement level or sub-replacement level player there that I know.
I think they would have maybe at one or two other positions kept guys like that around. And I think he would be more interested in doing something like, where do I find the guy that's eventually going to replace Hayward? And that guy would sit behind Hayward for a year, or he would get used as a rotational defensive lineman, and then next year he would be their starter. Like, that's the old Steelers way of doing things. Drafting, yes, it's a need, but it's not a pressing need where the guy has to go in there and play immediately.
That fits more Kevin's constant, and we all, I think, knew that this wasn't the case. And even like the tenured beat writers who sometimes would shoot, you know, tisk us, even agreed with this. That was a situation where they could say, oh, we're drafting best player available, because Kevin loved to say that, but they really weren't. They were still trying to fill a need, just the need they wanted. Like Kevin was obsessed with best player available as a talking point, at least.
But instead, what they had to do was they had to fix their quarterback situation this offseason, and it wasn't expensive or anything like that, but that's where their attention went.
Mm-hmm.
And they made one massive move in free agency, and that was Queen. And they feel like they got him at a good price.
They did.
And so there's a lot of sizzle to what the Steelers have done to get in position for this draft. But all that being said, all the praise, all the compliments, all the like very positive things that have been written and said about them, you still have a very incomplete roster, man. And I'm really interested to see how they prioritize those things starting on Thursday night.
Here's a thought I had with that roster priorities. So we agree holes are still tackle, center, wide receiver, corner.
Yep.
Agreement?
And I think you could even look at defensive line.
You can.
And inside linebacker is...
perceived
areas where they want to get
in their minds,
dudes
yeah.
too.
Yeah, they want to find. Well, they do, especially D line. You have Queen there. You have him there where he should be able to make whoever's next to him better. That's why you're paying him. I would just if we're going off of what we agree are the need areas, I would expect them, and I don't think this will actually happen. But if they were going strictly according to like positional value and their needs, wouldn't you think they would address center last of those first four that I gave you? Because tackles are more important than centers. Wide receivers are more important than centers, and corners, I think, are more important.
But they're
important
the organization of the center.
Are they?
They're now the franchise of
Omar,
centers.
Is Omar the GM of the center? Kevin came into a situation where he knew how important that position
was. Tomlin was one of the guys that wanted Pouncey and drafted Pouncey.
Loved Pouncey, probably the football player and like the leader, but is Omar? Is it? Here's where I think they are getting, like, if you call it a three-man brain trust, it's Omar, it's Andy, it's Mike.
Where Andy comes from Philly where they had Jason Kelce.
Exactly. So there's a two-thirds majority there that probably does value the position, even if Omar says, come on, guys, let's throw Nate Herbig in there. We'll be fine. We're paying him $4 million or whatever.
Well, the average salaries would say that offensive tackle versus wide receiver is really the debate. And cornerback is rapidly approaching those two.
Hot on the heels here, man. Like I think... wide receiver becomes a bigger need for them, I would think, just because they literally don't. I mean, I guess do you consider Jackson more credible as a guy who can step in and play corner for you than any other wide receivers being the number two?
Yes, I do.
Barely.
I think that Jackson is better at his position than Van Jefferson is at his.
Fair. If you were doing this by positional value, the way they would ascribe it, I would think they'd go like tackle, wide receiver, corner, and then pick 98. Come on down, Cedric Van Brandt.
All right, let's dive into Omar Khan's clues next.
I'd say the strengths are still the strengths. We've done a lot of work in the last month, and guys are moving up and down, and you feel good about certain guys, is not as good about other players. But overall, it's pretty close.
Omar Khan today, guys are still moving up and down, just with. We're almost there, Omar.
They're still rising and falling? These guys are just hanging out. How are they moving up and down?
The pro days are done. The Senior Bowl's in the rearview mirror. The combine. I mean, seems like you're cutting it awfully close to me. I was a procrastinator in college, and I would wait until the last possible second to turn an assignment in. My God, sometimes I would do my homework on the bus ride into school.
In college?
In high school. That was like a high school thing, the bus ride. But
they would get done at the lunch table in high school a lot.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like there. The draft board's still getting moving up and down based on what? I do think this Zach Wilson thing getting traded to Denver sort of affects the Steelers because I don't think that Denver's going to either trade up to take a quarterback or take one at 12 now. So
they bought their own lottery ticket, basically.
Kind of like the Steelers with Justin Fields.
Although I would argue that in balance, Fields has clearly been better than Wilson.
Not even close.
Who's been an atrocity as a starter in the NFL.
But
frankly, he and Pickett are much more comparable in terms of not wins and losses, but like overall statistical performance.
But I think the vanity and hubris of Sean Payton knows no bounds.
Oh, yeah. He thinks he can turn him into a really good NFL passer.
Yep.
I mean, I do think, as much as I detest Sean Payton's personality, that if anybody out there, with maybe the exception of like Andy Reid or one other person or Kyle Shanahan, is going to get the most out of a talented but very erratic quarterback, it's probably Peyton.
So that's one more position player who potentially goes before the Steelers are on the clock at 20, and one who could be at a position that they're interested in, like an offensive tackle at 12. Now, instead of taking Bo Nix, they're taking the offensive tackle from Washington.
Fautanu.
Yeah, and that has a trickle-down effect in other teams who are interested in offensive linemen.
Well, it's just then that increases the likelihood that if the Steelers actually want a tackle and have like a very specific list, of guys that they are interested in, then you probably have to consider moving up. That's what that's the Jordan Reed mock today. Mock with Seattle. He says, Steelers get in on an offensive tackle run and they trade up four spots to get Latham.
Seattle makes the move with them?
Yes. Steelers get pick 16. Now, tell me if this sounds right to you, because I, granted, don't have it in my brain right this second. Seahawks get picks 20 and 84, so they just swap picks, obviously, and then it costs the Steelers the 84th pick to move up. What did it cost them to move up how many spots last year to get Jones? Was it three?
A fourth.
And it was like 120th pick, right?
Yep.
To go from, what, 18th to 15th or something like that?
They moved up three spots.
Yeah, okay. So, man, that I don't know why that just that extra spot costing them like several.
I wouldn't advise that. I would not like that.
It seems like a very rich trade is what I'm trying to spit out here. I'd even not love it if it was picks, if it was pick 98 that was being used to move up there.
Well, these are things that Khan says are going on, these discussions in their draft room nonstop.
We've gone through a ton of hypotheticals. I'd say the board is, we try not to overthink this too much, but I'd say that it's close to being where we feel comfortable. You know, we're going through a million scenarios right now. It's just part of the strategy process. And these next 2 days are going to feel like a year. I'm ready to get there.
I think every GM in town should be required when they're talking about perusing the scenarios to say we went over 10,000 simulations of what might happen. That should just have to be the base level number here in this town.
Included in that, you'd have to think there's a conversation that sounds a lot like, all right, where is the number where we would, like, what's the highest we'd move up to get a player that we really like? You know, would we do business with the Chargers at five? Would we do business with the Giants at six? Would we trade with the Jets at 10? Like these spots where we're talking, they move way up the board. And then conversely, do they do the opposite where it's, okay, would we move from 20 to 28 to the Bills to 29 or 30 with the Lions or Ravens? Would we move to 31 with the 49ers? You know, would we move out of the first round completely?
Omar strikes me as a guy in 1 year of having watched him actually do this who would be much more likely, believe it or not, to trade up for a player he covets than trade down and risk not having a player be available to him.
I do have a clip on that we'll get to later in the show. You said before, Melzi, talking about how Colbert was a draft the best player available guy.
Well, that's what he would always say.
Well, how about this answer then from Khan when talking with Jerry Dulac?
How are you balancing best player available versus a positional need or want?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same as it's always been. I mean, you take a best player at a need position.
Okay, that was not Jerry.
Jerry Kovacevic?
Yeah. But take the best player at a need position.
I was going to say, that's a much... Well, I think that's a more transparent answer than Kevin ever gave. Because I think it's what most teams do. Like, the idea that you're a team that has so few legitimate needs in the salary cap era that you can really just toss a dart at a board and say, we want the best player available that this turns up, is wild to me.
So, Daniel Jeremiah just put out his... He ranked every player, the top 150 prospects in the draft. He put out his big board today.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to name a player for you, and you tell me if he fell to the Steelers at 20, even if he's not at a position of need, if you think the Steelers would take him.
Okay.
Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Okay.
Were you just like checking me there to see if I would reflexively say no?
Drake May.
Yes.
Jaden Daniels.
Yes, but with a little hesitation.
Brock Bowers.
No, I don't think they would necessarily.
Really?
I'm not positive that they would.
He's seventh on Jeremiah's board.
I'll give you my 10-second answer. Positional value-wise, he's a tight end. They're just not as valuable. But I think they would see him as he is an offensive weapon, and so that would make it very tough. Who said that he would slot in as their slot receiver immediately? Is that Ryan Wilson told us that? Somebody said about...
Baldy, I think, said
okay,
that.
okay, whoever I asked, I think, about Bowers said he's your slot receiver day one. If you already have a tight end you like a decent amount, congratulations, you're lining up a 6'4", 250-pound slot.
I think they would take him if he fell to them.
Well, that's just – you have to have a very clear plan on how you're going to use Brock Bowers if you're going to do that.
Dallas Turner.
No. How many edges is too many?
But if the perceived best defensive player in the entire draft is there at 20.
I mean, I don't think everyone
and
thinks
they value
the
edge
best.
Rushers like it's the...
I've seen people say they think Jared Verse is better than Turner.
Okay, Turner or Verse.
I still don't think they would do it. I think it'd be much more like, well, you're going to probably say one of his names, so I'll keep going. I'm not going to offer the name I think you're going to give me here.
Well, Byron Murphy plays a position of need. I think they need off.
Well, that's
need defensive
I was
going
to say yes. If you're going to give me Byron Murphy, I would say yes. They would do it if he fell to them. Because now people are talking about Murphy being the first player off the board in some mocks. Defensive player.
That's because the Bears value the that
Bears,
position.
The Bears value him so much they take him number one overall.
No. All right, we're going to get to Donnie's mock draft of the day, but I just first wanted to spend a minute on the breaking news of the Pirates lineup for tonight's game. Have you seen it yet, Mulsey?
I heard it when Austin said it.
And what was your reaction to it?
Well, same as the Pirates offense, really.
Andrew McCutchen leading
underwhelming.
Off.
A guy hitting 173. What's Jack Swinski hitting? I know batting averages and everything, but all these guys have bad OPSs, too.
Rowdy Tellez is your cleanup hitter. He hasn't hit a home run in April. It's April 22nd.
They have a lot of bad hitters right now. They might have a lot of bad hitters, period. You better hope that the right now designation gets lifted here because they start all snapping out of it collectively. But right now, it just looks like a team full of bad hitters, guys who either once were good and aren't now, or guys who might never be good.
This is the pride of Pittsburgh to everybody. We don't do that out here. We're a good team. We're winning for a reason. We're going to get our man back on track. But what happened today is, I think, unacceptable, and we as a group in Pittsburgh got to be better. It's an all-star for a reason, and we just have to be better. So,
I hated that when he said it. I think it's even more laughable now.
And they are 2-8 since he said that.
Really rallied the troops there. I hated that I was being lectured by a guy who had been here for like 20 minutes as a lifetime resident, what Pittsburgh does and doesn't do or shouldn't do as fans. Come on, man. Like, honestly, I almost felt like saying, know your role, buddy.
I think you did say that.
I didn't say know your role and cut like a rock style promo on him, but I probably should have.
O'Neill Cruz demoted all the way down to 7. McCutchen gets a promotion, hitting under 200. Tellez gets to stay where he is at cleanup.
I don't even know who in the lineup I would hit lead off, unless it the only like easy decision I feel like I would have if I were making out their lineup card is if they were facing a lefty starter, put Connor Joe leadoff.
I'm going to say something right now that I don't think he has the balls to do, talking about Shelton.
Okay.
I don't think he has the balls to hit McCutchen lower than 6th.
Because he feels he could be a slap in the face to
yep.
him?
Yep.
He's probably their 8th or 9th best hitter at this point. And it pains me to say that because I really
me
wanted
too.
It to be
but
so.
But I don't think he'd do it. I don't think he'd do it. Because of the respect. It's the same thing we talked about with Bednar.
Well, I would say McCutchen, if we're talking about strictly respect, has done way more than Bednar to earn a certain level of respect. But this is where, like sports, I would be a terrible manager, one of many reasons. Shouldn't it be about, forget about what you've done for me, this is the best lineup I can put out day in and day out, and that's what I'm going to do? Where should what Andrew McCutchen has meant to the franchise in the past factor in? Why should it factor in?
I mean, the crazy thing about it is I say that he wouldn't do it. I'm not even sure Shelton should do it because there's so many other candidates to hit near the bottom of the lineup right now.
You just tell them they're all hitting 9th and then just make out the lineup card?
Do the old Joe Maddon thing where you just pull names out of a hat for your lineup for
you
that night.
You know what? I know it's only 22 games. The season's 22 games deep. If I found out that Derek Shelton, just to try to loosen the mood in there, like Major League style, just drew names out of a hat and you had Rowdy Tellez leading off, I'd be all right with it. Oh, Henry Davis hitting 2nd? Perfect.
Couldn't be any worse than the lineup that they actually put thought and time into.
I'm just saying, like, baseball's a crazy sport and it is a grind. I would rather see them do that. I know that they would get roasted. This is Mickey Mouse stuff, but What are they putting out
Why,
there?
Why, Tampa's
now?
Team's under Madden. We're winning 90 games and going to the World Series.
But were they publicizing that that's how he was building
yeah,
the lineup?
He said that once in a while he'd do that just to...
But they didn't do it in the moment. He didn't go, hey, by the way, today's an out-of-the-hat lineup.
No, he would. He'd say after the game or in the pregame, I picked the lineup out of a hat because people would see it and it would look so crazy.
Then Shelton should do that. I hate saying Joe Madden had some good ideas. Shelton should do that.
Let's get to Donnie's mock draft of the day. Little Austin filling in because Donnie is no doubt very hungover.
He's having a blast down there, man. He and
Ridden hard and put away wet after his time in Nashville. What? You don't think so?
I just hadn't heard that phrase uttered on the radio ever. I don't know if that one, I don't know if you're allowed to go with that one or not.
Why not?
I think you're allowed to. I just, very brusque phrase.
What do you got for us, Austin?
All right, Ryan Wilson just put out his updated mock draft just a few hours ago for CBS Sports. And he has, well, familiar name, as a lot of these names are getting to be. Graham Barton from Duke, offensive tackle, maybe interior, 6'5", 314-pound lineman going to the Steelers. No trades up, no trades down, right at 20.
Well, I think there's I think if he's there right now, they'll take him.
If he's there and Latham's there, unlikely, who would they take? Because I think Latham's... I don't know if Latham's their favorite tackle, but the other guys, like Fuaga, I think is going to be gone too early for them to be
sure.
A serious contender. Alt, Fashanu, maybe he's sliding down boards. If it's just, let me make this argument. If it's just Latham or it's Barton, man, I think they'd have a very hard time looking past an Alabama guy who's basically plug and play at right tackle and affords you the opportunity to bump Jones over because we know they love big school guys. For a Duke football player.
Wilson has Latham gone, going two picks higher to Cincinnati at 18. Fuaga's gone at 16 to Seattle.
Man, I'll tell you, hold on. If Fuaga lasts till 16, man, I wonder if they would trade up four spots like Jordan Reed has them going for Latham in that one.
Also has Jackson Powers Johnson, 26 to Tampa Bay.
I still don't think they would because I feel like they would be happy with Even if Fuaga got picked, there's enough guys that they like that they would just keep their extra picks and take the leftover player at 20, which last year was the opposite. There was a run on tackles, and they felt like if they were going to get one of them, they needed to make the deal to leapfrog New England.
And they did.
Yep.
They capitalized off of the Jets' perpetual vendetta against the Patriots.
I think the one thing that needs to be starred here or circled is Seattle because they badly need a center. That's their one big offensive need. And I think at 16, they could take Barton, which would have the Steelers, I think, more of an Amarius Mims team if that happens.
Well, Kabali's got one out there. Not that we're doing more than one mock draft here, but
mock away, Malsy.
His first one has them trading up three spots to 17.
For Latham?
Yep, 20 and 98 to the Jags in exchange for 17 and a nice throw-in of pick 212.
So they're giving up a third-round pick.
They're giving up that comp pick, yeah. What would amount to a late third.
Unless there's just no one left there and all the tackles are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give up a third-round pick player for Latham when I can just stay at 20 and get Mims.
I would agree that even though Latham has more polish, I think the upside with Mims is...
Mims could end up being better, and then you also have a third-round pick who could be a starter for you by the end of this year.
I actually think most people believe that if it breaks the correct way for Mims, injuries are good, there's nothing to worry about there, and he reaches his potential, he will be better than virtually all these guys. That becomes, do you trust your coaching, and do you just trust your eval of the player?